Through the example of Father Capon, we are given a model of how to be hope to a hopeless world, to be light to a dark world, to be so filled with joy that people desire to be around us. There's an urgency in the world right now. I want to enter the mission territory. In fact, the Lord has called all of us into this battle for souls. He's not given anybody a pass on that. Welcome to the Foxhole.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Foxhole on the Memorial of St. Junipero Serra. My name's Jason Searle, and I'm chairman of Capon's Men, a men's faith formation ministry whose mission is to accompany one another on our faith journey. We follow the example of Father Emil Capon, a priest from Kansas who did the same in a simple daily life, all the way through his heroic actions on the battlefields and in the prisoner of war camps in Korea, where he eventually died at the hands of his captors. Although Father Capon was ordered to safety during the Battle of Insan, his response to stay with his men during the battle that ensued and their subsequent capture resulted in him becoming the most highly decorated chaplain in United States Army history. The Foxhole's been honored to host guests who are making a difference in their communities, families, and their faith circles. We explore how they, just like Father Capon, are doing the simple things in extraordinary ways. This week, we're honored to have P.J. Anderson. P.J. is an incredible inspiration, using his gifts as a musician and singer to spread the gospel through his vocation as an artist. P.J.'s performed all over the world, bringing people together in union with our Lord. In addition to his music, P.J. and his wife Rachel are founders of Summit in Nashville, where they seek to build community and fellowship through their shared faith with people of many different faith backgrounds. P.J. has been a friend of Capon's Men for years, and we're blessed to have him spend some time with us today. Before I turn it over to Joe and P.J., I want to remind all of us that you can find our resources at caponsmen.com and watch all of our faith formation series at friendform.org. You can also share this and our previous podcast with your friends via Spotify, iTunes, CastBox, or any other podcast format. We appreciate you helping us to share the message of Father Capon, and please give us a like and a review if you're inspired to do so. Joe's going to lead us off with a prayer this morning, and with that, it's an honor to introduce Joe and PJ. Good morning, and thanks for joining us in the Foxhole.
Thank you, Jason, and good morning, friends. What a beautiful, glorious day it is. I got up super early this morning and went for an extra long walk, and I just was really praying just special prayers of grateful, just being grateful for this opportunity again today to have a conversation with someone I greatly admire and someone I'm kind of inspired by. But even more, just that weekly we have this chance to come together as men all over the United States, and to break open some of the things that are in our hearts and really be encouraged and challenged. I was reading the reading for today, and it's from Amos, and I want to use that. So let it just kind of soak. Let it sink in, because it's really going to be how I'm going to introduce today's guest. It's from Amos chapter 5, verse 14, I think 15. It says, "Seek good and not evil, that you may live. Then truly will the Lord, the God of hosts, be with you as you claim. Seek good and not evil, that you may live." Listen to that. If I was going to introduce P.J. Anderson to you, to everyone on this call, what I would say to you is, he's one of those people who seeks good. He does good. P.J., whether he's on a stage in front of 1,000 or 10,000 people, or whether he's having dinner with you at a restaurant in Nashville, or whether you see him in the grocery store, he's the exact same person. So before I bring him on and begin chatting with him, I just want to invite everybody to take a second and just be still and maybe just invite the Lord of goodness, the Lord that seeks good, into our day-to-day. Maybe just to give us a little more gratefulness for the blessings that we have, for the beautiful mornings, for the opportunity to be with our families and to be encouraged. Come, Holy Spirit, and just invite God into this conversation. And help us to seek out the good in each other and in the things the Lord's given to us in this beautiful, beautiful day. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, friends, you know that I love P.J. Anderson. P.J. is one of my heroes. And I want to start with P.J. I know he's on the other end of this line. I know we've talked about accompaniment. He's one of the people that does this very well. And this podcast is all about accompaniment and the inspiration of Father Capon. So PJ, how about I just kick it off with us, just a little bit of welcome, and maybe tell me a little bit about accompanying it from your perspective.
Hey guys, how y'all doing? It's a beautiful day here in Nashville too, so it's good to be with you guys. Accompaniment, it's one of those words. It's really hard to spell, and really kind of it's one of those words. It's hard to say, but it's something that I hope it's not hard for all of us to do, and sometimes it is. But for me, what accompaniment is, it's about journeying with somebody. You know, that it doesn't mean that you're always the leader. It doesn't mean you're always the one in charge. It doesn't mean you're always the follower. It's just about being in something together and helping each other through it, growing through it together, and complementing each other through something. And, you know, my wife and I, Rachel, we just last Friday, we celebrated 10 years of marriage, which we're pretty excited about. And I'll never forget when we went through marriage prep, our priest walking us through that, accompanying me through that, he asked us a question that initially it seems like it has a pretty easy answer, but then you got to think about it. And he said, do you complete each other or do you complement each other? And we both said, we complement each other. Opposite of what like Jerry Maguire says, you know, you complete me. It's that we complemented each other. And we vowed to walk through this life together, until death and through the good and through the bad. And that's what I think accompaniment is for people. And it's been a joy and a blessing and sometimes hard. But most of the time it's a beautiful thing. And my wife and I have 10 years of marriage and 3 kids, so it's a beautiful thing.
No, PJ, I just think it's fun to hear you try to say accompaniment over and over again.
I can't say it.
So many different angles, and I love that you kind of shorten it here and there as well. So I'm hoping this will really travel all over the world. It's the great PJ Anderson, who plays in front of thousands of people, is struggling to say the word accompaniment.
I can't say that word.
Well, it's the beard. It's the great beard you've gotten from all this time alone in the
house.
Let me switch gears because you brought up Rachel, and I know you guys do a ton of work with pilgrimage. And here at Capon's Men, we've had this video series on Formed, which has been super successful on pilgrimage. And I'd love for you to share a little bit with our audience of why you guys see pilgrimage as valuable. And maybe even some of the glory stories and the blessings that you've seen. I know Rome is a big one for you and the Holy Land. Just a second or two, give us some background on why you guys went to pilgrimage and exactly some of the blessings you've seen.
Sure. Well, when I was 15, I feel like that's where my love of, first of all, Rome started, but also that idea of pilgrimage started for me. I was 15. I went to Rome with my parents and our pastor, and on that trip, we had the great blessing of, you know, our pastor said one night, he said, you have good news and bad news. Bad news is you have to wake up at 4 a.m, which was kind of like today, Joe. You said you woke up early, like way early, went on a long walk. I'm like, I woke up at the very last minute that I could, because I'm a night owl and I'm not a good morning person. But so as a 15-year-old kid, the worst thing you could hear is I got to wake up at 4 a.m. But he followed it with, but because we're having a private mass with Pope John Paul in the Vatican Gardens. And so that woke us up really quick. And so got to meet Pope John Paul. He celebrated mass for about 30 of us. And then afterwards you get to go up and shake his hand and kiss his ring and talk to him for a second. He gives you a rosary that he blessed. And he called me a good boy, which I, of course, used against my parents for the rest of my life. Anytime I got in trouble, I'm like, you can't ground me, remember? Pope John Paul said. But that is where my love of Rome started. And so when I started thinking about going to college, I sought out places that had study abroad programs, found one that had Rome, and then ended up getting a job as a resident assistant at the same school, came home from that, and became a youth minister, and the kids in my youth group were like, all right, you know, I sat them down and I said, I'm a marketing major, guys. I didn't go to school for this. I need some help on planning out what you want to do with your youth group. And they came up with good ideas and bad ideas. And one of those was, we want to go on pilgrimage. And so to Rome in particular. So we planned that. And then a bunch of adults in my church were like, time out. You're taking all these high school kids. We want to go. And so we started this company called Ciao Roma Travel, my wife and I. And I mentioned 10 years of marriage. I proposed on our very first trip. She was on the, you know, we had been dating for 4 years and she came along and helped out on the first trip. And I proposed in Assisi on that trip. And it's a beautiful pilgrimage. It's like a beautiful breakdown. You know, it's tiring because it's not like, yes, you can go on pilgrimages and stay in nice hotels, but it's also, and eat nice food and, visit beautiful places, but it's also hard in some aspects because you're waking up early, you're going to bed late, you're walking a lot. Our tours are, you know, we pray with our feet on pilgrimage, and it's, you are overwhelmed by how much you take in during those 11 days or 14 days, whatever it is. And I've had very devout Catholics and Christians on our trips, and self-proclaimed lukewarm people. And so many of them come away and say how this pilgrimage, walking in the footsteps of saints, changed their life. And for me, you know, Rachel and I just got back from the Holy Land right before, you know, we almost got stuck there. We almost got quarantined in the Holy Land in Jerusalem for many more weeks than we planned on being there. But my parents and I and my wife and I went to the Holy Land. And for me, that as I'm walking in those, you know, the places where Jesus walked, where he lived, where he called the apostles, where he performed miracles, and then finally where he died and was buried in a tomb, I'm getting goosebumps right now as I think about that. The way that my life was changed by those 14 days was amazing. And I think we all need that sometimes. We need to be shaken up. We need that beautiful breakdown sometimes so we can come back to the Lord. And as I'm walking those footsteps of Jesus, I'm thinking to myself like, oh, I take people to Rome. That's our main thing. And we're wanting to expand from that. But I'm like, I've never taken people to like where Jesus walked. We go to where St. Peter and a bunch of other saints. But I started thinking that pilgrimage, me going on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, is going to really make our Rome trips way more meaningful because of me seeing the extent that people went to, that the saints went to, that Peter, the first pope, went through to let people know that Jesus is who he says he was. They gave their lives. And that's something that most of us will not be asked to do, but to be able to see these magnificent churches built because people believed in Jesus and people loved and love Jesus and want others to know about that. And that really inspired me, and wanted me to, you know, inspired me to want to lead more people and accompany them to Rome. I said it.
No, I think praying with your feet is a cool thought. It's a beautiful prayer. And I do know that John Paul II, one of my heroes, called you a good boy. I almost feel like all three of your kids have personally been blessed by Francis. Is that right?
Yes, they have. We, on a few of our pilgrimages, one was a twofer. We had a 3-year-old. It was the day after my son's birthday, and then a little 10-month-old. And we were in the right place at the right time. And, you know, we know where to go for these papal audiences. Every Wednesday, the Pope comes out and drives around the Popemobile and gives a message in multiple different languages and the apostolic blessing at the end. And so we know where to go. But that day was different. Like, the first time this happened, we didn't go to our normal spot, and that ended up being the spot to be at. And the Pope drove by in the Popemobile, and he gives us a fist pump. Like, if you follow me on YouTube or Instagram, you can see videos of this. He gives a little fist pump, and then you see me lift, you know, holding Trey, and the Secret Service just comes and takes them, and then the same lifts them up to for a little kiss from the Pope, and the same with my daughter. And then a couple years later, same thing happened with our littlest, our little 4-year-old. And that time, like, there's a video of that where the Pope just, you know, just drives right by, but then he comes back. And a funny thing, Joe, I feel like you'll appreciate this. And Ellie, I have to brag. Like, I don't brag about too much, but all three have been kissed by the Pope, and our littlest has been kissed twice. And we didn't intend for that, but it just kind of happened. But with Ellie, the Swiss guard came up to us. He saw our baby, and we weren't planning on doing this, but the Swiss guard said, "Lift her up." And he puts his hands up, both hands up in the air. The Swiss guard are like the Pope's private police. You know, they wear the funny, colorful uniform, and they have a big hat that has a like peacock feather in it. But don't, like, I always tell people, don't let that trick you, because they could kill you with their pinky finger, and they also carry around an axe. So you just do what they say. So when the Swiss guard says, "Lift up your baby to the Pope," you do it. So we did, and he said, he lifted up his hands. He said, "Lift her up like the Lion King." And so we did. And the Pope came by, and he drove right by, and then a Secret Service guy came and said, the Pope's about 20 yards away from us at this point. And the Secret Service guy comes and says, "Give me the baby." And I said, "Okay, there's not too many situations where I would just hand over my baby, but this was one." So, yeah, it's Pope Francis. It was pretty amazing.
Man, that is beautiful stuff. That's impressive. PJ, let me ask you. You brought a beautiful breakdown, which is another. It's like you're the king of nice little quotes this morning, to be as tired as you are. And one of the things I remember, I've always valued you as a friend, as a guy I can just kind of share the faith with and accompany me through life. And I remember you sharing a story with me about a pretty brutal experience in parish ministry. I've even heard you share it with groups before. And I know that there are guys on this call that maybe life hasn't played out well recently. You know, and things have turned. And I remember you saying you just had to rely completely on God. Mm-hmm. At a section of your life. Do you mind breaking that open in that beautiful breakdown, maybe even to something to kind of encourage some of us who are on this call this morning?
Sure. You know, it's funny how God works. Sometimes everything's not just buttoned up like we want it to be and like we expect it to be or like we prayed for it to be. But long story short, I was worked as a youth minister for years, and my wife was pregnant with our first baby, and had a life-threatening pregnancy issue, and one night, 2 a.m, she had to be rushed to the hospital in the middle of the night, and terrifying. And she was put on bed rest for 3.5 weeks, and I stayed with her in the hospital. And because of that, I lost my job as a youth minister. I was told, if you don't come in tomorrow, it's your last day. And I didn't go in tomorrow, and I lost that job. And it was dark. It was a dark time for me, of being angry and hurt and betrayed and wanting revenge. But God had a plan. And that, I don't say that to sound cheesy or make everything seem like it always works out for everybody. But God does have a plan. And he had a plan for me that involved taking a new direction. And he has a plan for all of us. And, you know, I mentioned that pilgrimage to the Holy Land just a few months ago, which seems like years ago. because we really haven't left our house since. But that pilgrimage really, really got me. And in particular, placing my hands on the tomb of Jesus. You know, Joe, I think we talked about this just on a phone call a couple weeks ago, but I heard a pastor talk about that Holy Saturday. The apostles didn't call Holy Saturday, Holy Saturday, you know? They that was probably the day that they felt the most despair and the most like they've been abandoned. But what we know now in retrospect is that on that Holy Saturday, that day that everything, you know, the apostles had to be thinking, like, we lift them up to glorify them to saints, right? But they had to be thinking, what are we going to do? Like, Jesus, our friend, and we believed he was God, he's dead and he's not coming back. Like, he's in a tomb. We saw that happen. They had to be feeling that, you know, and there's a lot of times that we feel like that because of things that happen to us. And, but what we know is on that Holy Saturday, he was not far from us. He was near, and he was drawing people near to him. He was descending into hell, drawing people near to him. He was drawing the faith of the apostles that was very strong in them before he died, and now it was wavering a little bit. He was drawing them near. And I think in those dark times, that's what we have to remember, is that he's near to us and that we have to keep close to him and not run away from that fear that he's not who he is, who he says he is.
So, TJ, let me back you up a little bit and focus on New Direction. Because I think that was something that when I met you, I think you were in the midst of a trajectory change almost. Like your family was moving and had to switch directions almost on a dime. I remember in Nashville, you riding you had like a moped. And you played
yeah,
like 10 missions. And I remember, and I think this guy can play in front of 10,000 or 10 people, and it was so powerful. But for people on the call that the current state has made them kind of have to move in a new direction, how did you respond to that? How have you encouraged other people as they've said, hey, I thought life was moving here, but it's moving here? Are there a couple things you've used or some ways you pray into that?
Well, first off, I don't think it was always as graceful as I'd like to tell you guys right now. There were times that it, like I said, it was dark, and I didn't let my faith and my strength win, you know. But I remember when that happened, and I remember my mom and dad and my wife in the hospital room, and I said something along the lines of, you know, I'm not going to let this affect my faith in God. It has affected my faith in man at times. But I said that night. I said, it's affected my faith in man, but I'm not going to let this affect my faith in the Lord. And not to say that it didn't. There were times where it's struggling. So I encourage those that are struggling right now, because there's a lot of people struggling right now and losing jobs and losing family members and not knowing what's next. It's terrifying. And that's my encouragement, it's okay to be scared. I think that's something that as men, we teach our kids and our boys and our girls to not be scared. But it's okay to be scared. But that fear has to be combated with trust in the Lord. And you know, my mom always says this prayer, and I'll mess it up, but something like, you know, Lord, I want you to lead me to be who you want me to be, to say what you want me to say, to do what you want me to do. And that's just a simple prayer, but that's what God calls of us, to be simple and to trust in the love that he has for us.
That's beautiful, beautiful prayer and beautiful little something to pray on even this morning. So, PJ, for the men on the call that want to follow you, that want to maybe even go on a pilgrimage with you or buy some of the music or see you in concert somewhere, can you give us a little taste of what you're doing currently that you're kind of excited about, maybe some things that are coming up?
Sure, yeah. It's been a great time to be home and to write a lot. So I have a little 1968 Airstream in our driveway that it's my little recording studio now, and just recording like little demos and writing stuff. So new music coming out this year. You can find that at pjandersonmusic.com, pjandersonmusic.com. And it's on all, you know, Spotify and iTunes and YouTube and all those streaming things. So, you know, Instagram, Facebook, all those social media things. So new music coming out soon, and I'm really excited about that. And also, you know, the pilgrimage our pilgrimage company is called Ciao Roma Travel. C-I-A-O is ciao in Italian. It means hello and goodbye. So Ciao Roma Travel. We have some pilgrimages coming up. All of them from this year were rescheduled to next year. So we have a trip in March and May and July and next October as well. We'd love to meet some of you guys that are listening right now, and maybe we can even get you on a pilgrimage, Joe.
Yeah, I'm all about that. I love Rome, so I'm in on that. And I love the food, and I love spending time with you and Rachel. So maybe Ashton and I can jump in on that.
Yeah, man.
DJ, go ahead.
I'll never forget too. You came home from the Holy Land like changed. I remember talking to you after that trip, and that was good inspiration leading into our pilgrimage. So thanks for your sharing of your experience in the Holy Land years ago.
Oh, amen to that. I'd love to go back. I would say, PJ, we've been asking our guests who've come on to lead us in prayer here at the end. So what we're going to do is I'm going to invite you to say a little prayer for everyone who's on the call. And then Jason will come in. You heard Jason at the beginning. He'll come in at the tail end and close it up. But we'd like to close with you saying a prayer for the group and kind of close out the morning, and then Jason will come right back on. So thank you again for your time, and let's pray our way out of here.
Sure. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, we thank you for this time, this beautiful morning, and in whatever city that we're in. You bless all of us, and Lord, help our hearts and our minds and our eyes to be opened to the blessings that you have for us. And Lord, even in the dark times, even when things seem like there's no end to the fear, there's no end to the pain, we know that there is. We know that you're with us. And so reveal yourself to us so that we can see you, you know, not as the light at the end of the tunnel, but a light that's always with us, a light that gets us through the darkness, that lights up our life, that lights up our hearts. Or our hearts, they ache for you and desire to be with you. And help us to seek out your will for us, especially in this time. Let us seek out your will. Let us do what you want us to do, say what you want us to say, be who you want us to be, so that we can eternally be with you forever in heaven. Whatever trial that anyone is going through right now, Lord, we lift that up to you. We lift those up to you, and we ask that you give us the strength to get through those breakdowns, and to let our prayer life be a beautiful breakdown, that we can break ourselves down to be holy for you, so that we can see others as you see them, and so that we can see you in others. Lord, we thank you for the gift of Father Capon, who accompanied people through an enormous struggle. Let us be that light. Let us be that leader. Let us be that person that leads when you need us to lead and follows when you need us to follow. Let us turn to you in all things, in the good and the bad, in the dark and in the light. In your most holy name we pray. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right, PJ. Hey, thanks a lot. That's great stuff. And I'm going to give 2-1 odds that you're going to name this next album Accompaniment. We're going to help you get over that pronunciation. So that's great stuff. And, I think each week we give our guys a challenge as Capon's Men, at part of our men's faith formation. And I think this week, one of the things that you said, PJ, that you kicked us off with, really, with Rachel, do you compliment one another? And that being a cornerstone or foundation of a compliment. I'd say that this week, let's look those around us, those who are close to us, maybe those that we journey with and that we walk with. Where can we better compliment them, and how can we do that? And I know the Lord's going to provide us many ways where we can respond to that invitation of complimenting one another. So thanks for those reflections. Again, everybody, you can check PJ out at pjandersonmusic.com and Chow Roma Travel. Really encourage you to do so. PJ helped us out several years ago at Quapaw, Oklahoma at our retreat. Maybe you come back for a retreat, here in the future, once we get those going again, PJ. So thanks again for joining us. Coming up, next week, we've got former Broadway star Billy Harton, followed by Matt Franklin, a great youth minister out in the Catholic circuit, and then Father Steve Razzle, a priest from Mobile, Alabama, are the next several ones. And then further out on the schedule, we've got some great guests coming up. Father Steve Rendall, who's founder of Warriors on the Way. He takes our men and women veterans out there on the Camino de Santiago as part of their healing to deal with PTSD, and I think you'll find his talk really, really interesting, his work as well. So again, we're honored to have these great guests each week. We encourage you to check us out and share all our previous podcasts and our work at capeandspend.com and iTunes, etc., and give us a like if you can. We're gonna close. PJ did a great job in praying us out here. So we'll just simply ask that the Lord continue to bless us and give us a safe week. And thanks again to everybody for joining us on this call. And we'll close with one Hail Mary here. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Servant of God, Father Emil Capon, pray for us. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Take care.
Thanks for joining us in the Foxhole. As we go, we're blessed to leave you with these words from Father Capon himself.
We can surely expect that in our own lives there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.